Usually, a deed is a shield. Now, it's a bullseye.
This is the Epic Real Estate Podcast. Contrarian takes on money, housing, and policy without the guru nonsense.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Let's go.
This isn't the first time you've heard me in the last decade say we need regime change at the Fed. It's not just about a person. It's about an approach to economics. It's about approach to what they're doing. And I'm troubled when I see them moving the goalposts.
And look, on April 1st, a new banking rule takes effect that turns your savings account into a funding source for the national debt. Three federal agencies, they have already signed off on it. $210 billion in bank capital, it just got freed up. And the whole point is to make it easier for your bank to buy government bonds instead of paying you a competitive rate. Nobody on the evening news has even mentioned it. But if you have a savings account, a mortgage, or equity in a house, you are part of this whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. And here's how the math already works against you. If you have $200,000 sitting in a bank account right now, your bank paid you about $800 last year in interest. But inflation took nearly $5,000 in purchasing power right out of your pocket. You lost over $4,000 for doing exactly what you were told was safe. And whether that was designed or not, the effect is the same. Doesn't matter. So let's start here. Open your bank app and find your savings interest rate, the APY, and that is what your bank actually pays you each year. Now subtract 2.4, that is today's inflation rate, and if that number is negative, you are functionally subsidizing the United States Treasury. There's no bill there, no permission, it's just math. Now, here's what nobody's telling you. The man Trump nominated to run the Federal Reserve and the current Treasury Secretary both come out of the same hedge fund billionaire's orbit. They share a mentor, a worldview, and a plan. And that April 1st rule I just told you about is only one piece of it. You see, the man Trump nominated to run the Federal Reserve is Kevin Warsh. The Treasury Secretary coordinating with him is Scott Bessent. They both come out of Stanley Druckenmiller's orbit, one of the most successful traders alive. They share a mentor, this worldview I told you about, and a Rolodex. And they are building something called a new accord. Basically, a new agreement between the Federal Reserve, which controls interest rates, and the Treasury, which borrows the money. The last time Washington had an arrangement like that, 1942, and savers lost to inflation for years. So here's what Warsh said on CNBC on July 17th of last year. Quote, "We need a new Treasury Fed accord like we did in 1951 after another period where we built up our nation's debt and we were stuck with a central bank that was working at cross purposes with the Treasury." Now pay attention to what he is actually invoking. You see, the 1951 accord was when the Fed broke free from the Treasury. That was the good event. From 1942 to 1951, the Fed was handcuffed, rates were capped, inflation ran, and savers got crushed. Warsh says he wants a new accord like 51. But listen to what he is actually describing. It's not independence, it's coordination. This is not the Federal Reserve being incompetent. This is Trump's Fed nominee and his Treasury Secretary doing what the incentives demand when you're sitting on $39 trillion in national debt. They need cheap money, and they need you to provide it. Now here's what that $39 trillion looks like at your kitchen table. It's about $288,000 per household. And it grew by over $16,000 in just the last 12 months. Nearly $1,400 a month tacked onto your tab. And you got nothing for it. Interest on that debt hit nearly $1 trillion last year. That tripled since 2020. Interest is now one of the three largest line items in the entire federal budget, right behind Social Security and Medicare. Since 2020, property tax bills have risen sharply in many local markets. Insurance premiums climbed over 20%. Grocery costs up more than 25%. Your savings account, according to the FDIC, is paying you 0.39% on average. And they tell you inflation is under control. $100,000 in cash has lost roughly a third of its value since 2010. The same money in gold actually grew 130%, which is why I put a dealer vetting checklist for you at hedgethefed.com, because the wrong gold dealer will rob you faster than inflation will. Now, I'm just a guy who buys houses for a living. I do not have a PhD in monetary policy, but I can do subtraction. And when I subtract my savings rate from the inflation rate and get a negative number, I don't need that PhD to know someone's hand is in my pocket. And if you think this only hits your savings account, it does not stop there. The same restructuring that kills your deposit rate is about to push 30-year mortgage rates in the wrong direction. If you're buying, selling, refinancing, or sitting on equity in a paid-off house, this is coming for all of it. Have you heard of a linguistic autopsy? That's when you take what someone said and translate it to what they actually meant. Warsh went on Fox Business last summer and said, quote,
"If you look right now and you could take down that balance sheet a couple trillion dollars, over time in concert with the Treasury Secretary, that's a big rate cut that could come. And what you would do then is turbocharge the real economy."
Here's what that means for you. There are two rates that matter. The short-term rate, that is your credit cards and your savings account. And the long-term rate, that is your mortgage. Warsh is cutting the short one. That is his big rate cut. That is what makes the headline. But when the Fed dumps its long-term bonds to do that, the long-term rate where your mortgage lives, that goes up because the Fed just stopped being the biggest buyer in the room. So the evening news says Fed cuts rates. Your credit card rate might drop, but your mortgage rate, your refi rate, those could climb. And he's calling it a rate cut. It is a rate cut for the short end. It is a rate cut for the government, not for your house. That's what they serve you on the surface. But they bury the real machinery under language designed to put you to sleep. They call it the Enhanced Supplementary Leverage Ratio Reform. Enhanced Supplementary Leverage Ratio. That sounds like a vitamin supplement for your transmission. Here's what it actually does. It lowers the capital requirements for the 8 biggest banks in America, which frees up roughly $210 billion. And the rule was built specifically to make it easier and more profitable for those banks to hold government debt rather than compete for your savings. They're there to hold government debt now. And three federal agencies, the Fed, the OCC, and the FDIC, finalized this rule together November 25th, 2025. And it goes live April 1st this year. I mean, we're like less, what, a week away. So when your bank has a regulator-approved, risk-free way to earn 3.35% on treasuries, they do not need to pay you 4% on your savings. Financial analysts are already warning that this rule makes banks want to buy government bonds instead of lending money to regular people. Your savings yield drops. The government gets its debt funded. Wall Street gets its risk-free return. And you get the bill through an interest rate that lags behind inflation. It is a gift to Wall Street, dressed up as a safety reform. Now, let me show you why this matters so much with something you'll never forget. Think of this like a toll road. The government needs to pay off the construction debt it took to build the road. But instead of raising the toll, they just stop filling the potholes. The toll stays the same, but the road gets worse. Your tires wear out. Your car needs new shocks. You are still paying, but you're getting less in return. That is financial repression, when the government uses rules and inflation to shrink its debt without ever raising your taxes. The toll is your savings rate. The road is what your money can buy, the devalued dollar. And they already ran this play. From 1942 to 1951, the government capped what your savings could earn so it could borrow cheaply to pay off World War II debt. And even after that cap ended, inflation kept running. A 2024 IMF study found the government did not grow its way out of that debt. It inflated its way out, and savers paid the bill for decades without ever seeing a tax increase. The rule is real. The quotes are real. The history is real. My read where it leads is actually where the debate starts. And if noticing that your bank statement does not match what they are telling you on TV makes me some sort of conspiracy theorist, well, fine, I guess that's what I am. I'd rather be that with a full bank account than a compliant citizen who goes broke following the rules. They are counting on you not reading the fine print. Bad bet, because you've been reading fine print since before these people were born. I mean, if you're over 50, you have lived through enough of these economic cycles to know when the math does not add up. And here's the question nobody on financial television is asking. If this new banking rule is so good for consumers, why did gold sell off sharply and the dollar rally the day Warsh was nominated, while your savings rate sat right where it was? Because Wall Street knows this rule gives them a guaranteed return at your expense. That is the unasked question. And I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to make sure you see what is coming before it hits, because once you see the machinery, you can then build your fortress with confidence. You have a very specific set of skills. You've been paying attention, doing the reading, and checking the documents, and now it would be a good time to act. And listen, I'm not your attorney or your CPA. There's nuance to this. I mean, every situation is different. What I'm about to lay out here, it's a framework, not a prescription. Here's what to do today. Move your cash to a savings account that actually pays a real rate, 4% or more. You can do it on your phone in 10 minutes. I found a decent one a while back, and it's still above 4% right now, barely. And I'll put the link at the top of the description below. And if you use that link, we both get an extra 0.5%, I think. It might be 0.75%. See, on $200,000, that is the difference between earning $800 a year and $8,000 a year. That alone nearly closes the inflation gap. So check it quarterly, because banks are quietly dropping rates. So if yours falls below 3.5%, you gotta move. You gotta look for someplace else. All right, so here's what to do this week if you have a mortgage. Stop spending extra money each month to pay down a fixed rate mortgage below 5%. Every extra dollar you throw at a 3% mortgage is a dollar not going into something that keeps pace with inflation. The United States government borrows at over 3% and counts on inflation to shrink that debt. If it is good enough for the Treasury strategy, why would you do the opposite? That is inflation arbitrage, borrowing at a low fixed rate while inflation makes that debt cheaper over time. The government does it, the 1% does it, and now you know it has a name. And before you say, I'm not a billionaire, you don't need to be. You just need a fixed rate mortgage and a savings account that pays more than inflation. That is the whole move. Take that extra payment money and build a war chest. Consider establishing a home equity line of credit while rates are still reasonable. You know, not everyone, it's gonna depend on your situation, but a line of credit established now costs nothing until you use it, if you ever do. And I'll put a link to my people below for that as well. This gives you liquidity, access to cash when you need it, without having to sell something at the wrong time. And if you have significant equity trapped in the walls of a paid off house earning 0% while inflation runs at 2.4 and climbing, that is frozen capital. It's retired money. You've retired your money before you retired yourself. And in 17 years of real estate, here's the one thing that I tell every homeowner in this position. Your home does not send you a check every month. Someone else's does. Active defense means your assets are working, not sleeping. Pull your most recent mortgage statement tonight. Circle your interest rate in red ink if it is below 5%. That is an asset. Do not let anyone convince you it is a liability. Everything that I've shown you so far is on the public record. What's not public record, we have to do our best to connect the dots. And here's where I think this goes. The new accord takes shape over the next 12 to 18 months. Short rates fall, long rates rise, banks become the government's captive buyers. And the person holding cash at 0.39% becomes the quiet tax base that services $1 trillion in annual interest without ever receiving a bill for it. The government will not formally default. They will not announce a tax hike on the middle class. Instead, they will let inflation run just hot enough to melt away the real value of their debt, while using bank regulations to steer your savings into low-yielding accounts. But you are not most people. You are the type of person who does not wait to get blindsided. You read the document, you check the numbers, you make the move. The new ESLR banking rule already finalized by regulators, the new accord being negotiated in public, and the balance sheet restructuring being modeled on Wall Street. These are not separate events. They are three parts of a single machine designed to shift the cost of $39 trillion in debt from taxpayers to savers. And the machine switches on April 1st. Now here's the part that keeps me up at night. I just showed you the machine. I showed you the players, the rule, the history, the playbook, but I did not show you your number. How much purchasing power have you already lost sitting in cash? And how much more are you going to lose over the next 5 years if nothing changes? Because that number is specific. It's not theoretical. It's not macro. It's yours. And it is probably worse than you think.
If you've been grinding for deals and coming up empty, you're not alone. That's why we created a way for frustrated investors to finally get cash flowing income property without the hassle. Go to frustratedinvestor.com. And now, back to the show.
And look,
the IRS is using artificial intelligence to spy on people.
The IRS just admitted on the record that they've built a real-time tracking system for every residential property in America. Yeah, they put a LoJack on your land. And if that sounds familiar, it should, because they already did it to your car. Congress approved kill switches in every new vehicle. That was step one. Your home is step two. They've spent the last 18 months quietly building a geospatial index of every single property in this country. The same GPS infrastructure that tracks your car now tracks your equity. And if you're sitting on more than 40% equity, you just move to the top of their high resolution list. Your home isn't just a place where you keep your lawnmower and your memories anymore. It's a mapped asset with a digital tag that tracks your equity in real time. You were right to be suspicious when your property tax assessment arrived with that new QR code on it. That wasn't an efficiency update. That was a reconnaissance mission. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to show you how to see exactly what they see. But first, you need to know one thing. There is a specific code on your county's digital portal that tells you if your deed has been geospatially tagged. If you see that code, it means your equity is now visible to a system that doesn't need a court order to freeze your asset liquidity. But don't worry, I'm going to show you how to create a digital fog around that deed before this mapping project expands any further. As of March 1st, FinCEN's new residential real estate reporting rule just went live, and that's just the beginning. Now let's meet the people who decided your privacy was a luxury that they could no longer afford. This isn't just the IRS being modern. This is the Treasury Department working hand in hand with geospatial data firms to make sure no equity stays quiet. And they told you exactly what they were doing. You just had to read past the euphemism. Former Commissioner Werfel, that's from the previous administration, said it himself. We need to create a truly digital agency with modernized technology and expanded data science. That was their plan. And when the new administration came in, they didn't shut it down. They didn't even slow it down. Treasury Secretary Bessent took the wheel and kept driving. Different driver, same direction. This isn't left versus right. This is the institution versus your privacy. A truly digital agency. Let's perform a little surgery on that phrase. A truly digital agency is institutional speak for we found a way to look through your walls without a warrant. It's like a burglar telling you he's upgrading your home security by taking the locks off the doors. Here's what I'd be looking at right now if I were in your shoes. Pull your property record card from the county website. Not the one they mailed you, the digital one in the GIS database. If there's a layer 4 or remote sensing notation on your property, your house has been mapped. That's your first win, though. Knowing is the first line of active defense. All progress begins with the truth. Look at this chart. Congress authorized $79.4 billion for the IRS under the Inflation Reduction Act. Even after rescissions cut that to $37.6 billion, they've already burned through $13.8 billion, and a massive chunk of that went to what they call enforcement technology. Now, I want you to think about something. That money, it's not for finding billionaires. Billionaires have lawyers who eat IRS agents for breakfast. That money is for finding you because you followed the rules. You did everything right, and that made you predictable. Your property taxes went up 14%. Your insurance went up 22%. Your utilities went up 18%. And your home equity? That's the only thing keeping your net worth from sinking. And they have the nerve to call this revenue optimization. Optimization for them, an ambush for you. And look, if you're over 50, you've lived through enough of these innovations to know the rules only change when the people in charge are losing. So, how does this actually work? Remember the kill switch in your car? Well, here's the parallel, and it's not a metaphor. Your car has a GPS chip that knows where you are, how fast you're going, if you're impaired or not, and whether someone in Washington decides your vehicle should stop running. They're building the same thing for your house. They call it geospatial mesh technology. But forget the jargon. Here's what it means in plain English. The IRS used to just look at your 1040, your tax return, one document, one snapshot, once a year. Now they're building the capability to cross-reference your financial records with your physical property data. And this isn't theoretical. 150 million properties are already in the database. If you've got a 3,000 square foot house in a neighborhood where the average is 1,800 and your reported income says you should be in a two-bedroom apartment, the mesh flags you. It's a digital twin of your financial life, running 24/7. You know, I've been in real estate for almost 20 years. I've closed north of $50 million in deals, and I'm telling you, I have never seen the deed environment this hostile. Usually, a deed is a shield. Now, it's a bullseye. And I know this sounds like tinfoil hat territory, but look for yourself. Here's the actual contract between the Treasury and the data providers. They are indexing beneficial ownership and linking it to physical land coordinates. The receipt does the work. I don't need to make this up. This isn't theory. This is procurement. Now, if noticing that your house is being digitally indexed makes you a conspiracy theorist, fine. I'd rather be a conspiracy theorist with a protected deed than a well-adjusted citizen whose equity just got optimized into someone else's pocket. And here's the question nobody is asking. You see, if this mapping system is just about tax compliance, why does it need real-time equity tracking? The IRS already knows what you paid for your house. They already know your assessed value. So what exactly are they building that requires a live feed of your equity position? Makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, you don't need a PhD in economics to see what's happening. You just need a mortgage statement from 2019 and a mortgage statement from today. You know, everyone underestimates the quiet homeowner who checks the numbers. They're about to find out that that was a big mistake, because here's your active defense playbook. And these aren't mandates, by the way. You don't have to do this. This is just what I'd be considering if I wanted to stay invisible. Step one, the kitchen table homework. So tonight, grab your physical warranty deed, pull it out of the safe, the filing cabinet, wherever you keep it, then go to your county assessor's website and pull up your property's digital record and compare the two. If you see a code on the digital record that doesn't appear anywhere on your physical deed, like a GIS reference number, a parcel ID, a layer 4 notation, there's a pretty good chance you've been mapped. That code is a global property ID, and it means your house has been indexed into a larger database. If it's there, your equity, it's on the grid. That's the reconnaissance. That's what tells you whether you need to make the next move. That's step two. I call it the Ramsey reversal. Now, conventional wisdom says pay off your house. A free and clear home is the ultimate safety, not to mention a good night's sleep. Dave Ramsey built his whole empire on that advice. Here's the problem. In a mapped economy, a house with 100% equity and a clean deed is the easiest target on the board. It has zero institutional armor. I mean, think about it. If a bank has a $300,000 senior lien on your house, the mapping sensors see that the bank owns the first slice. The IRS moves on to an easier target. By paying off your house, you've made your equity naked and visible. You followed the old playbook, and the old playbook just made you the biggest dot on their map. Now, I'm not saying stay in debt forever, no. I'm saying you need what I call defensive encumbrance. A strategic layer of protection between your equity and the system that's now tracking it. Which brings us to step three, the ghost lien strategy. And this is the big one. This is the part nobody else is talking about, and it's the reason I made this video. Here's how it works. You record a private mortgage or a line of credit deed of trust against your own property, but the lender isn't a bank. The lender is your own private land trust or a master LLC that you control. When the mapping sensors scan your deed, they see a maxed out encumbrance. They see zero available equity. To the system, you look broke, but you're not broke, you're invisible. You've moved your equity into a war chest that isn't geospatially indexed. Think of it this way. Remember the GPS tracker on your car? This is the equivalent of parking it in a garage lined in lead that blocks the signal. The car is still there, the equity is still there, but the satellite can't see it anymore. You've created a digital fog. And this is just slightly harder than it sounds, but it's not brain surgery. You do need to set this up properly with a qualified attorney. This is not a DIY project. And to be clear, this has to be a real documented transaction. You're not filing paperwork with nothing behind it. That's fraud. You're creating an actual financial structure with real consideration. That's asset protection. And my team has helped over 2,700 people navigate these waters, and the ones who win are the ones who realize that solvency isn't just about how much you have, it's about how much they think you have. Now, I can't prove this next part, but based on everything we just covered, here's where I think this is going. By 2027, mapped equity will be used to automatically trigger what they'll call wealth adjustments during tax season. They won't need to audit you. They'll just send you a bill for the unrealized gain on your mapped dirt. And that's not a prediction. No, that's the logical end of everything we just walked through. You can form your own conclusion, but the unrealized gain tax is on the California ballot this year, and all states are watching. So you have a choice. You can stay mapped, visible, trackable, and waiting for the next modernization to hit your mailbox, or you can take the active defense route. Check the deed, set up the trust, defend the fortress. But doing nothing, that's the one move that guarantees you lose.
And that wraps up the Epic Show. If you found this episode valuable, who else do you know that might too? There's a really good chance you know someone else who would. And when their name comes to mind, please share it with them and ask them to click the subscribe button when they get here, and we will take great care of them.
Yeah, we got the cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got the cash flow.
President Barack Obama.
Virginia, we are counting on you. Republicans want to steal enough seats in Congress to rig the next election and wield unchecked power for two more years. But you can stop them by voting yes by April 21st. Help put our elections back on a level playing field and let voters decide, not politicians. Vote yes by April 21st.
Paid for by Virginians for Fair Elections.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.